Amen. I'm curious how many people, well, if you're willing to admit it, how many people don't have up their Christmas decorations yet by a show of hands? Okay. A lot of honest people here. All right. And maybe some of you are saying, you know what, I'm proud to say I don't have them up yet. All right. How about this? How many people by a show of hands have had them up for weeks by now? Ready? Keep your hands up high. Look around the room if you would. This is the cream of the crop right here. This is the cream of the crop. Now, obviously, decorations really don't matter. You know, we like to have fun. We like to, seems like every year there's a debate, you know, how soon should you put up your Christmas decorations? And, you know, we talk about it, we joke about it. But in the reality is they don't matter. The decorations isn't about the decorations. I love the decorations because of the nostalgia. I love the tradition of them. I love the lights. My favorite part of the decorations is the lights. I love the lights on a tree, the lights in the windows, the lights this time of year. I love the lights. But it's not about the decorations. When we think about this time of year, it's about Advent, right? And so let me ask the kids or the youth in the room, let me just ask a question. What does the word Advent mean? Anybody know what the word Advent means? Youth or kids, anybody? Any guesses? What's that? No, not adventure. But it's a good guess because it's the first part of the word. Yes, Serenity? The Advent calendar, there is an Advent calendar, there's an Advent season, there's Advent candles. All right, adults, help out. George, go ahead. What's your guess, George? Believing. It is about believing in something, but what? Let adults, help them out. What does the word Advent mean? What's that? To come, yeah, or what'd you say, Billy? The coming of Christ. Yeah, so specifically, we're talking about the coming of Christ. So in general, the word Advent just means the arrival or the appearance of something or someone important. And so obviously we believe that there's no more important arrival or appearance in all of human history than the coming of the promised Messiah, Savior, and Lord, Jesus Christ, to this earth. And so, and we think about also, there's no more important second advent than the second coming or the second advent of Jesus Christ when he comes again to judge the living and the dead, and to bring home all who know him, to give resurrection bodies to all who know him for all of eternity. So we prepare for that next Advent by embracing the first Advent. That's one of the ways we prepare for the second Advent, is by embracing the first Advent. And so I'm going to look this morning at John chapter 1. If you have your Bibles, I'm going to encourage you to look with me at John chapter 1. We're going to read the first five verses. And let's look at John's account of the Advent. And it really, we'll get more into the Advent next week. But let's look at the first five verses this morning. So it says in John chapter 1, in the beginning was the Word. Very similar to Genesis 1 when it says, in the beginning God created the heavens and the earth. Well, here we see in John 1, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing was created that has been created. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. That light shines in the darkness, and yet the darkness did not overcome it. Father, we pray for wisdom this morning to understand the truth of your word in such a way that we would not only believe it and understand it, but that we would live it out, that we would follow it, that we would obey it, that we would live according to your word. So give us wisdom, give us conviction by the power of your Holy Spirit working in us, and help us, Father, to be able to live accordingly. We pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. So in this Advent series among us from John 1, we're considering what it meant for God to take on flesh and dwell among us. And so that's why this month, as we go through this series, we're going to focus on John chapter 1. Let's grow in our understanding. Let's grow in our understanding of the Advent. Let's grow in our understanding of John 1. And let's be more prepared for Christmas, especially for how we might grow closer to Jesus, because I think this is a great time of year to kind of be a refreshing part of that we could grow closer to Christ as a family, as individuals, and as a church together. And so today we'll consider why Christmas is about Jesus. You would say, well, duh, of course Christmas is about Jesus. Hopefully this is going to set the tone for this series, though. I hope that in John 1, I think what we see here is one of the great mysteries that we cannot fully comprehend. And what I mean by that is the fact that Jesus is fully God, right? He has been for all of eternity as the Son of God. He is fully God, but Jesus is also fully human. So he's fully God, but he's fully human. He's not 50-50. He's 100-100. Any comparable thing we try to use to explain this from our perspective and understanding will always fall short. This isn't Neo from the Matrix, right? Jesus wasn't just part of God entering humanity. Jesus is fully God. Jesus took on flesh to also be fully human. Don't fully understand that? Well, you won't on this side of eternity. I don't think we can fully wrap our minds around that truth that Jesus is 100% God. Jesus is 100% human. And so my purpose in the message this morning, though, as we think about what we just read in John chapter 1, verses 1 to 5, is that you will know and follow Jesus. To some degree, think about it, this is the point of every single message that we preach here as a church. This is the point of who we are and what we do as a church. This is the point of who we are and what we do as disciples of Jesus Christ. So I don't mean to dumb this down when I say that my purpose today is that you know and follow Jesus, especially since that's always the main part of what I long for to happen in any message that I preach. But I especially want to focus on this today, not just because this is Advent, not just because this is the Christmas season, the beginning of the Christmas season, but I want to focus on this today because the Gospel of John focuses on this. So for example, if you look at the end of John chapter 20, this is what he says. Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples that are not written in this book, but these are written so that you may believe in Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So here we have John's purpose in writing. Right here, this is why John wrote his gospel. So that you may believe Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and by believing, you may have life in his name. So let's know Jesus, and let's follow Jesus. Let's have life in his name, and let's live like we have life in his name. And so from today's passage, I want you to consider three truths about the focus of Christmas. Of course, Jesus is the focus of Christmas. We're going to talk about three truths about Jesus. This is about him. The Gospel of John is about him. It's about his birth. It's about his arrival. It's about him taking on flesh and becoming human. And of course, if we continue in the Gospel of John, it's about his perfect life. It's about him proving himself to be who he said he is and who he said he was through the miracles that he performed, seven of them specifically in the Gospel of John before the resurrection. But the first truth I want you to notice this morning as we look at the first five verses, the first truth on this focus of Christmas, this first truth about Jesus is that Jesus is eternal. Christmas is about Jesus, but Jesus isn't only about Christmas. Christmas celebrates the birth of Christ, his taking on flesh, his coming to the world, his being born of a virgin, but Jesus, the Son of God, is eternal. Yes, as we'll see more clearly, getting more into this chapter next week, God the Son took on flesh. Right? And that's really what Christmas celebrates, Jesus taking on flesh, the Son of God becoming a human. So we see that. We're going to look at that more next week. But even before that, as John makes clear, even before that, Jesus is and was eternal. Look at John chapter 8, verse 58. Jesus said, I assure you, before Abraham was, I am. That's a very clear and powerful statement, by the way, of Jesus' deity. No one would have misunderstood what this meant in the first century. When Jesus said, in fact, this was one of the reasons that the Pharisees wanted to kill him. The religious leaders wanted to kill Jesus because he said things like this. This was a clear statement of the fact that Jesus is God. A very clear and powerful statement of his authority. A very clear and powerful statement of his eternality. The fact that before Abraham was, I am, he said. Jesus is the Son of God and he's eternal. So you look back at verses 1 and 2 when it says, in the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God. He was with God in the beginning. It doesn't get much clearer than that, does it? And verse 14, which we'll look at next week, in case you don't get it, in case you're reading this and you're saying, well, what is this talking about? John's like, well, just in case you don't get it, this is about Jesus. Because in verse 14, it says, the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And even before that, in verse 12, he talks about the Son of God, and by believing, you maybe have the right to be called children of God. Jesus is eternal. This clear teaching on Jesus, by the way, is why I usually encourage most people to begin with the Gospel of John when they first start reading the Bible for the first time. So, and if that's you, if you've struggled, if you've never really spent time reading your Bible, this is where I would encourage you to start, right here in the Gospel of John. John is both simple to read, but also is filled with deep theological truths. Perhaps better than any other book in the Bible, John tells us who Jesus is. In fact, I preached through John several years ago. I think it was like 7 or 8 years ago. I preached through the Gospel of John here. And the title of my sermon series was simply, Jesus Is. Because John, maybe better than any other gospel, maybe better than any other book of the Bible, answers that question. Who is Jesus? Jesus is the point, after all. He's the point of this gospel. He's the focus of Christmas. He's to be the focus of our lives. Jesus. Right? The decorations might remind us of him. Some of our decorations might even point to him. We have Christian decorations maybe that have scripture verses in it and helps point us and get our focus the right place. So decorations can be good, or maybe they're just decorations. They don't really matter. Jesus is the focus. The first truth about the focus of Christmas is that Jesus is eternal. Secondly, then, as we see in verse 3, Jesus is creator. This is often forgotten, or sometimes this isn't even realized by people who profess to follow Jesus. He is the creator of the universe. Jesus, the creator. Look at verse 3 again. All things were created through him, and apart from him, not one thing has been created that, or not one thing was created that has been created. Again, we look at this and we see God's word is clear. Right? God's word is clear about who Jesus is, what he can do, what he has done, what he does do, what he will do. God's word is clear about this. Jesus is creator. Look at Colossians chapter 1. So in Colossians 1, we get to this point. It's talking about Jesus, the superiority and the centrality of Jesus. And so just as an example, there's really verses 15 to 20 give a great explanation of this. But specifically verse 16, when we talk about Jesus as creator, for everything was created by him in heaven and on earth, the visible and the invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities, all things have been created through him and for him. So notice what it says there, by him, through him, for him. Not only is Christmas about Jesus, the world is about Jesus. Right? Our lives are about Jesus. And talking about the superiority of Jesus, the author of Hebrews tells us in chapter 1, verse 10, again, this is talking about Jesus. It says, in the beginning, Lord, you established the earth, and the heavens are the works of your hands. Over and over and over again, the scriptures are clear about who Jesus is. The scriptures are clear about what Jesus is. Has done. The scriptures are clear in the second advent about what Jesus will do. He is the focus of Christmas. He needs to be the focus of our lives. That's one of the reasons I love this time of year, because even culturally, I mean, I can go to a store and they'll be playing songs that proclaim the good news of Jesus Christ. That they wouldn't normally play songs like that, but they will this time of year. You can listen to 98.3 The Dove, and they don't normally play Christian music, but they're playing Christmas music right now. And some of the songs are just the secular Christian or Christmas songs, but some of them are songs like Joy to the World, right? And so we can hear that, and it's a constant reminder. This is the focus of Christmas. It needs to be the focus of our lives, Jesus. Know him, follow him. Jesus is eternal. Jesus is the creator. So whether you love the tree and the decorations and the lights, or whether you would rather wait, or whether you don't even care, you might be like, I don't care about decorations. I don't have the time for that. That's fine. You know what? It doesn't really matter. What matters is that you understand the focus of Christmas and that you know and follow the focus of Christmas. His name is Jesus. The Jesus of the Bible, the eternal Son of God, the creator of all things. You know, if the Jesus you believe in is not that Jesus, then you're simply worshiping a false god. This is the Jesus he declared himself to be. This is the Jesus the Bible clearly teaches. This is the Jesus Christmas is all about. There is no other Jesus. The first two truths about the focus of Christmas are that Jesus is eternal, Jesus is creator. Thirdly, then, Jesus is light. We see here in verses 4 and 5, he is life. He is light. And to be clear, life wins and light wins. So look at verses 4 and 5 again. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness did not overcome it. Darkness never overcomes light. Think about that for a second. Think about this. All the darkness of the world cannot extinguish a light. All the darkness of the world cannot extinguish the light of men, the light that brings life. So consider a light like this. So if I just have a simple flashlight, so Robbie and Carol are going to turn these lights off, and it's not dark enough, obviously, we have sunlight outside. But all the darkness in the world, will this shine in the darkness? If we could shut the shade somehow, and if there were room darkening shades, would this still shine? Yes, of course. What if it was really, really, really dark? Would it still shine? Yeah, of course it would. Okay, you can turn the lights back on. What if it was so dark outside? You know, we had yesterday morning, I was outside early, and I noticed this, it was cloud covered. You couldn't see the moon. You couldn't see the stars. It's probably a little darker than usual, but of course, we got dusk to dawn lights. There's lots of lights around, so it's not really ever. But what if it was so dark outside that you couldn't even see your hand in front of your face? Would this still shine? Yeah, of course it would. As long as it's got batteries in it, this would still shine. And you think about the reality that light always shines in the darkness. Darkness can't snuff it out. It can't silence the light. And the reality is, as we see here in John chapter 1, Jesus is that light that never ends. See, these batteries eventually wear out. The bulbs could burn out. This eventually doesn't work any longer. This is just a flashlight. But Jesus is the light that never ends. That candle, if we left it burning all week, it would eventually get down to the bottom. It would eventually go out. But Jesus is the light that never ends. Life was in him, and that life was the light of men. The light shines in the darkness, yet the darkness could not overcome it. We need not take this for granted. Jesus is the light that gives life. And that light and that life never end. Do you have this light? If you do, this is the reality for you. In John chapter 11, Jesus said, "I am the resurrection and the life. The one who believes in me, even if he dies, will live." And we know from Hebrews 9, everyone is appointed to die physically, but even if he dies, will live. Everyone who lives and believes in me will never die ever. Do you believe this? He said. He alone is the light that gives life. Life that never ends. So even though our physical lives come to an end, those who believe in Jesus as the Son of God, and by believing, what did John say his purpose was? You may have life in his name. So by believing, that life never ends. Three truths about the focus of Christmas are that Jesus is eternal, Jesus is creator, Jesus is light. And so to rightly respond to this, then if we look at John chapter 1, how do we respond to this truth about who Jesus is? Well, we see it here, live in the light. And this is clear throughout the Gospel of John. This is clear in 1 John. That word light is used over and over and over again. Life and light are both used to talk about Jesus over and over again. And so we have to live in the light. Our world doesn't need more darkness. Our world needs more light. There's plenty of darkness. Our world needs more light. Live in the light. This is God's calling on your life, just as it was with Moses, as you learned about in today's family group lesson. Right? When God calls, what does God do? He equips his people for service. When God calls, he equips his people for service. And so God was with Moses, and he helped Moses do what he created him to do. God will be with you, and he will help you as you seek to be who he created you to be, as you seek to do what he created you to do. God will be with you. God will equip you. God will provide for you. And that means living in the light, living in Jesus, following Jesus and helping others to follow Jesus. That's what it is to live in the light. To live in the light means that your passion is the gospel. To live in the light means that you are committed to the church as family. To live in the light means that you desire to live on mission, to help others know and follow Jesus. Gospel, family, mission. You can't live in the light without all three of those. Just like you can't live in the light by picking and choosing what parts of the Bible to follow. To live in the light is to obey God according to his word. Following Jesus and helping others follow Jesus. This is why we're here. That's why we're here as a church. This is why we're here in this world as followers of Jesus, to live in the light. Remember, I said my purpose today is that you will know and follow Jesus. Do you know him and are you following him? Is he your focus this time of year and throughout the year? Because if he's not, if you're struggling with that, this is a great time to get back on track. We gave out those Advent devotionals last week. And by the way, if anybody grabbed one of those, maybe you grabbed two, maybe you went home and you're like, oh, my kid got one and I got one. If you don't mind, bring one back. We have a few people that didn't get those and we only got a certain number. But go through that together as a family. And this is a time where you can say, you know what, I've struggled to prioritize my relationship with Jesus like I should. And so I'm going to get back on track right now. The focus, not only of Advent, the focus of my life is going to be Jesus. Is he your focus, or is he just a lower priority on another list of lower, less important priorities? Because that's not living in the light. That's not prioritizing a relationship with Jesus. That's not following Jesus. To just have him on the list of other things that, yeah, when it works out, I'll follow Jesus. But right now, I've got a lot of stuff going on Sundays, so I may or may not be involved in a church. Or you know what, right now I've got a busy week, so I may or may not be in my Bible. Or right now, you know what, I've got a busy schedule, so I may or may not prioritize my prayer life. No, living in the light means Jesus is in all things, constantly your focus in all that you do. Know and follow Jesus. There's no other way to be right with the Lord and be who he created you to be than to know and follow Jesus. We know the good news of the gospel is that God's design alone is what's perfect for us. His plan for our lives, his way is what's perfect. But we know that we all sin. We all fall short of God's perfect design for us, his perfect glory, his standard that he sets for us. We go away from his perfect design when we sin. And that leads to brokenness. Brokenness that we all understand because we've all experienced brokenness in all kinds of ways. We look around the world and we see brokenness everywhere. It's the darkness that's around us is a result of the brokenness. It's why we tend to focus on anything and everything except for Jesus. It's why we worry and get stressed during the Christmas season rather than rejoicing and praising God for what this season is about, what it's supposed to remind us of, and instead we get stressed. Because we're not focused on Jesus, because we're broken people. And most importantly, because of our sin, it leads to a broken relationship with God, which means we all deserve to spend eternity in hell because our relationship with a perfect God is broken by our sin. But the good news of the gospel, the only thing that can solve our problem of brokenness, is the good news that Jesus died on the cross in our place for our sins. This is why Advent, because of Easter. We have Advent because Jesus came not just to be that precious baby in a manger, but to be the Son of God, the perfect Son of God who would live a perfect life and die on the cross for our sins, and then on the third day to rise from the dead to defeat sin and death forever. So there's no celebration of Advent without the cross. There's no celebration of Advent without the resurrection. And so now the good news is that if you simply repent of your sins, the Bible calls that turn, or the repentance is a turning. So it's a 180 in your mind and in your heart, in your life, where you're going in the way of the world, you're going in the way of brokenness, you're going in the way of darkness, that darkness that is everywhere, and you turn because God gets a hold of your heart, and you turn by putting your faith in Jesus, and you turn and go the other way. That's repentance, and it's a surrender to Jesus. It doesn't mean that you're perfect. We're far from there. We're still broken, but there's this turning. So to know and follow Jesus is to turn from the ways of darkness and sin to the light, to Jesus, to follow him according to his word. It is this willingness to say, you know what, I'm not going to pick and choose anymore. I'm not going to compromise. I'm still going to struggle, and I'm going to ask for people to pray for me and hold me accountable, but I'm going to turn from that old way, and my life's going to be different by the grace of God. And so as Jesus changes your life, what happens? You begin to recover and to pursue that perfect plan and purpose that God has for your life. You're not perfect. None of us is, but you're pursuing that perfection, that holiness, that godliness, that right living according to his word. You have God in your life now to change you and to grow you through the work of His Holy Spirit. You'll never be the same again. And because of that, then you desire to know and follow Jesus. You desire that closer walk with Jesus. And so if that's not you this morning, in a moment you're going to have an opportunity, but I just want to plead with you, make sure that you know and follow Jesus according to His Word. Father, that's our prayer this morning, that we would not be content to simply go through the motions. We wouldn't be content to simply show up on a Sunday morning, sing a few songs, and then go home and just do our regular thing without any change in our lives. Please help us, God. We know that we can't just will ourselves to change. We can't just make ourselves change. We can't just do better by trying harder. We need your help. We need your grace. We need your mercy. We need your provision. We need your Spirit to work in our lives and in our hearts. So we pray for that today, that we would know you and follow you according to your word. Father, for those who are here this morning who haven't yet put their faith in you, who haven't yet turned from sin and surrendered their all to you, maybe they've called themselves Christians, maybe they've been in church their whole lives, but they haven't yet surrendered their all to you, please give them the desire to do that today. Let them not be content to live a life in rebellion to your word, knowing that we can do that by being in church and saying all the right things and yet in our hearts not be sold out for you. So Father, give every individual in here this morning the desire to be sold out for you, to know and follow your Son Jesus. We pray this in His name. Amen.